Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, what's happening? Third hour here on the show. Tiki and Tierney. Company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. You know, the 49ers of this year might seem a little unique, and they certainly are, although they have a little bit of company. I think more company than people would actually realize in terms of quick turnarounds here. Now, obviously, when you have a chance to win a Super Bowl, coming off a 4-12 season, that is the height of change here. But there's, you know, and I was doing a little research before the show. The 70s, I don't know the reason, but the 70s were a decade where there was a lot of real tangible turnaround, like the 75 Colts, 2-12, then they go 10-4. Yeah. The 76 Pats were 3-11, then they go 11-3. The 79 Bucks were 5-11. Then they go 10-6. Not that big a deal.
Yeah.
But 04, even the Chargers went from 4-12 to 12-4. Now, we've seen this. The Dolphins were 1-15. They went to, I think they were 11-5 or 12-4 the next season. We've seen this before. This one seems a little different, a little unique based on the circumstances with the quarterback, the injuries, et cetera. How surprised are you? Let's start here, Bill. I want to play something from Jimmy G after, but how surprised are you in totality that the Niners are playing?
Extraordinarily surprised, BT, because it felt like what John Lynch was building was kind of not working. You know what I mean? It was like you're drafting Solomon Thomas from Stanford. You're drafting even Eric Armstead for the first couple of years. Yep. And it was, they didn't feel like they were like working. Good picks, you know, good college players, but something was, there was like a disconnect, and they weren't reaching their potential. And all of a sudden, it's like you turn around into 2019/2020. These guys are like Pro Bowlers and all, and you know, all pros. Eric Armstead, I think he had, what, 10.5 sacks this year, and Buckner had 7.5, and Nick Bosa's there as well. Obviously, draft pick, which is interesting to Jimmy G's comments. But, like, the turnaround happened so much faster than I thought. I knew they were going to be good. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. I don't know if he's great yet. He's a good quarterback.
He might not ever be great.
You're right.
But he's good.
And he might not need to be, to be honest with you. Yeah. They have a good offensive line, even though it was getting aged on the right side with Joe Staley. Yep. They get McGlinchey.
From Notre Dame.
From Notre Dame.
20-something. They picked him a couple of years back.
Which was a good pickup.
A little criticized at the time,
course,
I remember. But it's paid dividends.
Yep. And now, like all these pieces that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were maneuvering into place. They get Richard Sherman in a free agents contract. It's like, You've built this perfect team, and they go from a 4-12, like, okay, you got a long way to go, 49ers. You know, you're starting to get in the right direction, maybe, but you got a long way to go to being in the Super Bowl. Like, you don't see these things. Like, you see it, those examples you gave, BT, but those were turnarounds, but those weren't Super Bowl viable teams. The last one that you can look at is the 1999-2000 Greatest Show on Turf, which we talked about earlier with Kurt Warner and the St. Louis Rams. They were abysmal. They had like 9 straight seasons of under 500 play, or you know, not even playoff caliber play. And then all of a sudden, in 1998-99, they're 4-12. In 1999-2000, they're the best team in the history of football, and they win the Super Bowl. Right? This type of turnaround is hard. And so to see the 49ers do it and now sit here right on the precipice of winning a championship, it's kind of unique. It's very unique.
It's very unique, but I don't think it's as stunning as I think some people think on the surface, and I'll tell you why. You look at, you know, the bad Bucks, the expansion Tampa Bay Bucks. So the NFL expands in 1976. Seattle gets a team. Tampa gets a team. Yep. I mean, the Dolphins were threatening that this year, the way they started the season. But the way, just look at some of the numbers. I don't know what their point differential was that season. But they had to be outscored by like 200 points. Yeah. I remember when they were underdogs by like almost 40 points one game against the Steelers. Steelers covered, by the way. But so that was a horrendous team, right? Obviously. As bad as the Niners were last season, and this will lead into the quarterback, but more so the infrastructure of the team. 2-point loss against the Chargers. Chargers were pretty good last year. 2-point loss, right? At Chargers. 3-point loss at Green Bay. Now, the Packers were a little messy last year. That's why McCarthy's no longer. But still, 3-point loss. Okay. 3-point loss at Arizona. Not Seattle, but still a road game. You lose by a field goal. 4-point loss to the Giants. Giants weren't very good, but still you almost win. And a 5-point loss, 14-9. It was a low-scoring game against the Bears, who were good last year and won double-figure games. I say this because if you're terrible, you're not losing. And that's just a cursory glance at their schedule. There's a few other. They got blown out a few times, sure. But those are five games I cherry-picked where they could have won.
Yeah.
They could have won.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mullins was pretty good, and Beathard was pretty good. So when Jimmy Garoppolo was asked about, how do you, like, last year, how did he,
was it
a blessing in disguise? Yeah. What, did he got hurt last year?
Yeah, did he got hurt?
His answer, I want to play this for you. It's interesting, but let me play it for you. Go ahead, guys.
Things have a way of working out. And so I always told myself it was a blessing in disguise, you know, the ACL and everything. And, we got Bosa out of it. So, I mean, that's a pretty good trade-off, I guess. But, things have a way of working out, I guess. Just this ride is crazy. You just got to roll with the punches.
But I don't think that they lost last year because of their offense necessarily.
No, I don't think you're
right.
I don't think you're right. It was because of their defense. As I was documenting, BT, these guys were underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Mo Salah, or Rob Salah.
I almost got fired.
You almost got fired last year.
I was almost beefing up the old resume.
And look, we don't
focus. Thinking about going back to college, Central Michigan.
Seriously, right? we don't think about that side of the turnaround for this San Francisco team because it's so exciting to talk about quarterbacks and they got this ridiculous run game. But it's really the defensive side of the ball that flipped the switch for them and has made them unbeatable for a lot of it. Like for most of the year, I think the Saints game was the first one where they got put down on them, right? Mm-hmm. Points wise and yards wise, they were tops of the league. It was the Pats and then them, right? They were two best defenses and they were legitimately good defenses. It's not like this was just an anomaly. You played horrible teams, right? Honestly, the Pats, you could have said they were number one because they were playing some horrible teams.
The
49ers weren't number two because they were playing horrible teams. They're just playing great defense.
Yeah.
And I think Richard Sherman was a big part of that, even if not, you know, for his skill set, even though it partly was a skill set, but just his attitude, right? You come in with that kind of attitude. You bring a player with that kind of attitude onto a team that has talent but just not fulfilling it. Things start to shift, right? There's a value to Richard Sherman that I don't think we outside of it can actually see.
I agree with that. But how do you feel that as a player? How does it actually tangibly help?
Well, because Richard Sherman will hold you accountable. And because that was remember the MO with the Legion of Boom? Like if I'm a safety and Richard Sherman's my corner and I'm supposed to be covering for him because we're switching responsibilities and I screw it up, he's cussing me out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like right immediately. It's never lingering. You're never like, man, maybe I got that wrong. Like you're getting it. Right. And I think that and you're giving it as well if he should do the same thing. So I think that openness, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know if it works so well on the offensive side of the ball because
challenges in practice,
guys get feelings get hurt. But like on the defensive side of the ball, I think it matters.
Well, don't you think? Yeah. Again, for him to like yell at Kittle or belittle Garoppolo probably could be counterproductive.
That's right.
But even if he's slinging some, I don't want to say good natured barbs, but some barbs of accountability toward the offense in training camp.
Yeah.
With a smile. That's got to have a positive impact.
Yeah, of course it does. I remember this happened a couple days ago. He was talking about the head coach, Kyle Shanahan, how he was manipulating training camp because he knew that the defense was – their coverages were limited.
Mm-hmm.
Like the early parts of training camp, he only got a couple coverages in. And in order to like really understand them, you got to have a higher knowledge, like above the X's and O's, like he can, because he's a vet, like he's a long-term vet and a Super Bowl champion and a multi-time All-Pro, talking about Richard Sherman. But the rest of the defense is like confused, and the offense is just destroying them because Kyle Shanahan's devising all these plays that beat basic coverages, and like it made them work, and it pissed them off, and he would give it right back to Kyle Shanahan. But that's the kind of environment that if you foster correctly. it creates like winners. It creates like competition. It creates, I don't know, this like
accountability,
like all of that. And so in a lot of ways, their 4-12 season, even though it feels like it was ugly, it was a building block, and I think a necessary building block to get where they were.
Yeah.
Because they got Nick Bosa, because they also were able to sign Richard Sherman in the offseason. And so your defense now goes to a heightened level. Your offense picks it up a little bit, and here you're now on the Super Bowl.
I want to see if I'm going to look at the standings from this past year, right? And I wonder, because I just ripped through a bunch from the 70s, a couple from the early 2000s, mid 2000s.
Potentially can do it?
Yeah, yeah. Like, because you could look at a team like, I'm not taking a shot at the Bengals, but we're not going to be talking about the Bengals at this time next year because the Bengals won't be playing football.
No.
Bengals are 2-14. I mean, like, above, well, I mean, the Browns are a pretty obvious one because of their talent base. Let's go maybe less obvious.
But they weren't even like, they weren't horrible. They were 7-9.
6-10.
I mean, 6-10.
No, right? I got you. But dysfunctional and a lot of hurdles to overcome.
But it's not like they were, you know, they won three games.
No, I got you. I got you. Let me see. I got a good one for you.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Chargers? Now, if the Chargers have a good draft and Phillip Rivers, I hate to say this, but and Phillip Rivers decides to leave there, where they basically decide for him, and they get the right quarterback there with those weapons. I mean, 5-11 could become 11-5 fast.
They got to stay healthy, yeah.
For sure.
And that's obviously part of it.
Mm-hmm. The Redskins are 3-13.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and it was very lazy, you could look at the Redskins this year and say, come on, whatever, the Redskins, they were a joke. And at points, they were.
Yeah.
Then they fired Jay Gruden. Then they ran the football. Mm-hmm. Then you got to see, wow, there's actually some pretty stout bodies on both sides of the trenches. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a team that I actually picked on Sunday on tops for the Redskins to win a wild card this year coming up. Like, wouldn't stun me.
It wouldn't stun me at all, especially if Dwayne Haskins takes the necessary steps for a sophomore season. But they had so many injuries, right? Darius Geis got hurt.
Treff was hurt. They were one of their linemen, right?
But yeah, they were beat up a lot.
Yep.
They were unlucky a lot. But you never saw, even under Jay Gruden, you never saw them like laying down. Like they didn't. They weren't the team that just sucked.
No, they weren't.
They played hard. They just weren't good enough.
Yeah,
they just weren't good enough.
Well, the Niner game, I don't have the schedule in front of me, but when they lost to the Niners 9-0 and it was raining, that's a character game. Because if your heart's not in it, you're going to lose 30-0.
Yeah.
The Packers game, they lost by 5 in Lambeau. Granted, you and I thought the Packers were a little overstated, even though they won a lot of games. But
Rondé did that game, I remember.
That's right, Rondé was, because we talked about that, because something happened in that game that I brought to air the next day. If you're not a team that is at least playing hard and with integrity and has a modicum of talent on each side of the ball to at least somewhat control the trenches, you're going to get destroyed on the road in Lambeau.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a team, again, you know, one or two free agents, one or two great picks in the draft. Rivera changing the whole culture. I'm not saying they're going 11-5, but I mean, I don't know what I want to see their over under what it is, and I'll probably bet the over.
Yeah,
it's probably be about 7.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, BT,
6.5.
This is why football is the best sport. It's why it's so entertaining, because you can get a team like 49ers if you're just kind of peripherally paying attention. Yeah, 4-12, whatever. Maybe they'll be okay. I know they got a good quarterback, but they paid $100 million. They're not winning the Super Bowl. They could win a Super Bowl this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing could potentially happen with the Redskins or whoever else you want to throw into that conversation that wasn't good last year. The next year, they could be great.
Now, that makes the NFL unique, but I want to explore this coming up because not all fans like that. Mm. The word parody or that those circumstances that keep the league unpredictable, some people love it, and some people really don't like it. So we can delve a little deeper into that. Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Good stuff. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at GEICO.com. Easy. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Having some audio difficulties, technical issues here, and I'm sitting on the floor in the seat that I'm sitting on right now. I feel like I'm in the kid's seat. If you're watching us on CBS Sports Network,
what, like the little table at Thanksgiving?
This is definitely
you're not an adult yet. Get over there.
Little table at Thanksgiving with the arms that are too high,
yeah,
like up around your head. So, yeah, we're having difficulties. But we're on air, so you can hear us. You just might not be able to see us.
I'm an axe chair,
too. It's not aesthetically pleasing. This is an odd setup.
I've never sat here in 7 years in the studio.
To look at BT across as opposed to looking sideways.
This is weird.
It is very weird.
I've never sat here in almost 8 years now. Look at this. Let's see what Ack has for an update here. The Nets have struggled lately with four straight losses. Kyrie Irving set out on Monday with a sore hamstring, but it's expected back tonight. All right, you know, I guess we could do the show this way,
yeah,
right? Mics are working, we're good?
Yeah.
So what are the problems with parity in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds tantalizing. It sounds appealing.
Yep.
And it's got certainly some great aspects to it. But specific to the NFL,
mm-hmm.
here's what's problematic about it. Scheduling.
Yeah.
So you think about, now Monday night you usually get a bunch of dog games anyway. It is what it is. Everybody's got to get a little national love, blah, blah, blah. Sunday night is supposed to be the marquee, boom, the showcase.
Standalone.
Standalone.
Football all day.
Who opened up, yeah, the season this year? It was the Packers and the Bears. All right, 100th year, rivalry, great. Bears weren't good, but that didn't matter for week one.
Yep.
And they were coming off 10 wins, so it's all good. But then, and I started now, it's at the other seats. I don't have it in front of me, of course. But I know the Colts were like in week six or week five, the Colts were highlighted on Sunday Night Football. What happened? Andrew Luck retired. Now, that's not the NFL or NBC's fault.
No.
But think about the
circumstance this can derail.
Big time.
Like the greatest plans that you've ever imagined.
But it doesn't happen like that in the NBA. Granted, like if Curry goes down under a normal situation, you still have Klay Thompson or you had Durant back mm-hmm. then. Or when LeBron was with the Cavaliers, if Kyrie's groin is tweaked or LeBron's hammy's barking, you have the other guy in Kevin Love. Right now, if Anthony Davis doesn't play, you got LeBron. So you're not going to go from, you know, supposedly or the anticipation of a team that's going to win a championship to a team that's going to win 26 games and vie for the first overall pick.
So what you're saying basically in the NFL, because parity provides uncertainty for scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And so watchability changes.
It's dramatically altered and every year it's affected.
But I think from a fan standpoint, like my team, the Giants, they've been bad for the mm-hmm. last couple of years. I want to believe in parity because I want to believe that next year we go from, you know what I mean, 3-13.
That's a good point, though.
To in the postseason.
Yeah.
And it's more of a hope thing. It's less about, like, watchability because if you're a diehard of your team, you're watching them anyways.
Of course.
But so it's more about, like, I want the belief that what happened with the San Francisco 49ers, all we need is, like, Maybe we get a Chase Young. I'm talking like specifically with the New York Giants. Maybe we get Chase Young. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden our defense is more on par with the elites of the league, or at least closer towards that. You know, Daniel Jones takes the next step. Saquon stays healthy. The receiving core gets good. Our O-line gets shored up. Like
Joe Judge can coach.
Exactly. Well, he started to build a great staff.
Yeah, I like his
staff.
So
it's like, I want to believe that we can be the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's good. I see your point, though, because you end up getting some dog games, and that's the showcase.
Yeah.
You put that in quotes, the showcase of the NFL, and you're like, dude, why am I watching this?
It's a buzzkill. You're watching it because, number one, your team's playing.
Yeah.
Number two, you got money on it.
Yep.
Or number three, you got somebody going to fantasy. Because even on a dog game, there's going to be one great quarterback, mm-hmm. one great, maybe a defense. You might pick up a defense because you're playing a team that has no offense. You might juggle a little bit, hit the waiver wire. And let's face it, it is what it is, but there is motivation just to, and I've done this, mm-hmm. quite candidly, I've done this. If it's a game that, man, I have zero interest in this game. And to be frank, there's very few of those because I do have to, we branch out as a national show.
And we professionally have to know a little bit about everything.
No, for sure. And we embrace that. We embrace that. We love that. It's work, but it's not. But there are games that are tough to sit by. So what do? I'll throw $75 on the game. Honestly, I just throw a little something on it. Throw a little cheese on the taco.
How many times have you bought into your six-pack of picks and not won?
Well, it's funny. A lot of people have asked me that because I was red hot this year. And I'm really good with the six-pack of picks, as you know. The problem is, and my buddies ask me this because they always want them because they like to gamble too. I'll be totally honest with you. I don't win nearly as... First of all, nobody wins at gambling.
No.
That's why I'm smart about it and sensible about it. Nobody ultimately wins. You're going to lose. So you have to understand that.
There was a streak you were on, though, during last season.
Oh, no question.
It was epic.
Oh, it was ridiculous. But then I got stupid and it went back down to zero. And then you got to know, lay off. The problem is, though, I bet my six-pack of picks. But when I make my six-pack of picks, that doesn't include the hour on a Sunday morning when the kids are still sleeping or getting up and I'm in my office in our home and I'm getting ready to put a game day. Well, they're not sleeping at 9 o'clock, but getting ready to watch Herbie and the guys on ESPN. And I'm like, all right, Big Ten, couple of noon kicks here. Let me get a little bit of action.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might lose. Not a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe it's $70. Maybe it's whatever it might be. But if you lose two out of three, it almost negates what you did for the six-pack of picks.
Yeah, then you're like, you're chasing, but you already you put the chase in before you had to chase. I know.
In a lot of ways, correct. Yeah. So it offsets the winnings that I generally get with six-pack. But again, that's you. Listen, you've worked with me long enough.
Yeah.
It's fun. The sweat is good. The chase is fun. But you got to be smart about it because you will never win. You will not win.
No, you're right.
You're not going to win.
Gambling is fun, but it's not a profession, even though some people have made it a profession. Well, I wonder how.
Well, number one, I think part of the reason or part of the ability to monetize it is the obvious monetization of wins. But I think you get some sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
You secure some radio deals, some TV spots. You get an equity within the marketplace that allows you to get paid. I mean, not hundreds of thousands necessarily, but some people, sure, and some people, millions. But maybe enough to offset some losses. Now, see, here's the thing. All these people you see on TV, like, we keep it real. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not running to Twitter to post my losses. I'm running to Twitter to illuminate my wins and circle them and have fun and have all the gifs, you know, the guy banging out the money or whatever it is, you know, making it rain, all the funny gifs that you apply to money. But it's like nobody. I don't care who thinks they're good. There is nobody. Oh, R.J. Bell is very good. R.J. Bell, Ack's going to lose it. Ack's like, uh-oh, my routine's broken. What am I going to do? Ack, you're not doing an update today. Hang on, I'll be out of your way in a second. Like, R.J. Bell to me is terrific, right? I've never met him. I like listening to him. I think he's a good betting voice, a sage. I'm not going to say the game, and I'm certainly not trying to call him out because, again, I'm giving him props for being very good. I'm driving home. This was somewhat recent. It's like three. He's like, this is a lock. And, you know, I'm able to differentiate nonsense from real stuff.
And you could tell he's, like, serious about
believing that this thing. I bet the game, because of him, they lost by 33 points. You know, college football, a bowl game. I'm not going to say which one.
But the bowl games are. I mean,
but they don't speak with that conviction.
True.
You got to sell it with force, which he did. Which
I almost put that on you. Because bowl games are horrendous.
Yeah, no, that's true.
We even said this.
Like, there's a reason.
The bowl games at the end of our six-pack of six season, we're like, oh, no.
And what did I say to you? There's a reason why I don't touch the bowl games because there's indifference.
Yep.
Coaching staff split up. But that is the one game that I bet. And then I said, why did you break your own rule? Because R.J. Bell told me it was a lock.
Thanks, R.J.
Trying to get paid.
Appreciate you, R.J.
All right, so you're going to have to toss it to Ack. Ack, why don't you come back in here, bud? Ack will get the update. Teak will officially toss it to you. We'll go from there.
We are getting ready to do the blast on the other side of this break here. Richard Ackerman is furiously getting into his seat. BT shifting back over to his. Mm-hmm. I'll shift to mine. Hopefully our board is working correctly, and you'll hear us normally. Or not hear us, because we sound as normal as possible on radio or radio.com or SiriusXM 206 or any intercom station that we're broadcast on. But if you're looking at us, you're like, why is Tiki sitting on the floor and why is BT looking at him in the eyes, which we never do. Ack, give us an update, please.
All right, Tiki and Tierney back. I think we're all set. We're all straight. We're good. Is there anybody out there?
Stop shocking the system, BT.
A little Pink Floyd for you. Is there anybody out there? We good? I'm just messing around. I know we're good. Hey, by the way, find our podcast, radio.com, radio.com app, cbssportsradio.com, Apple iTunes. And you're going to certainly want to make sure if you miss any of our segments or any of our shows in Miami, you want to make sure I hit the podcast for that. So I know we've got all the guests lined up as usual. Santa always lines up the A-listers down at the Super Bowl. I know we've got Ron Rivera's coming on. We have Cam Newton. Mike, who else did you tell me the other day? I know we have a few... you've updated the grid a little bit. Who else am I missing? Some of the big names. T.O.'s coming on, right?
No, not T.O.
So we've got All-Pro Cam Hayward, who's always good for an interview.
Yeah, he's good.
Cam is awesome. Speaking of twins, we got Shaquem and Shaquille Griffin coming by.
Nice. Okay.
The owner of the Falcons, Arthur Blank, will be there. We'll have the the NFL sack leader, Shaq Barrett, will be there. Shannon Sharp. Chad Ochocinco or Chad Johnson.
That's why
I thought it was T.O. Yeah.
Ron Rivera, Cam Newton.
Okay.
We'll have Jake Fromm of Georgia.
Okay.
Jason Witten will be stopping by as well, and plenty of other names stopping by.
Good job.
As the week goes on.
Shape it up nicely. All right. That'll be a lot of fun. Teak is flying in on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I'll be there Tuesday night after the show. Speaking of traveling, you're doing the show tomorrow down in Dallas,
going
right?
Going down to Dallas for O'Reilly Auto Parts, mm-hmm. Managers Conference. Be there for a night. Then
managers
back.
Conference? What are you well, manager just, now? What do you mean manager?
I go say hello to the managers. Hey, manager, how you doing?
That's really the extent of it, right?
Yeah, basically.
Shake a few hands.
But it's fun. There's a bunch of talent there from all of there.
Is Rome going out to that again?
Yeah, Rome will be down there. And a couple of the 94.7 hosts are there, so it's kind of cool.
Which, are you using the studio that I used for... Yes. During Thanksgiving?
I believe so. Marlo just sent me a note.
Oh, Marlo's always honest. She's the best.
So I'm assuming Marlo's sending me that because I actually don't know which one.
Just figure it out by two local times.
Chernoff said that it was the same one that you used, so I'm assuming it's that one.
There you go. All right, let's get to the blast. Here you go, D-Cell. What do you got? Here we go. Let's try to convince ourselves somebody who underachieved this season is wowing everybody at the Senior Bowl, which he is, to be fair. Jordan Love wowing everybody at the Senior Bowl. And practice showing off an elite arm, which we know, no doubt. Decision-making and accuracy is the word on the street.
It's a Senior Bowl. Come on.
Yeah, but it's been recent. Russell Wilson distinguished himself there. Baker Mayfield did. Josh Allen had a good Senior Bowl. It's got value. I'm not trying to, lessen the impact of the Senior Bowl.
Justin Herbert's there. He's having the best show so
far. He's there as well. Would you take a shot on Love in the first round?
No, I don't think I would. I think there's too many questions. He had a great season two seasons ago. Last year left a little to be desired.
Actually, quite a bit to be desired.
Yeah, you're right. So 20 touchdowns, 17 picks he had last year, which is just, it's ugly. But you think about what he was before that. It was like 40 touchdowns and 12 picks. And so I think the inconsistency worries me a little bit.
Okay. I'd have to answer this team specifically. I really need to identify a team and look at the roster and say, okay, well, we don't have a pressing need. Our quarterback's at an interesting age where maybe we can strike lightning here with the first round, secure that fifth year if we need him, and he develops develop a nice.
I think he's going to get drafted.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he's first rounder.
I probably would not, because that drop-off does worry me, but I wouldn't slam the door if it's a team that fits a certain criteria. And listen, you know how it is. I mean, you start, one team gets impressed, and
you quickly go from one round
to the next.
That's all you need.
It's dominoes. Gary Kubiak, going to take over as the Vikings coordinator. All right, of all the new offensive coordinator, obviously, of the three new OCs, Jason Garrett, Giants. That sounds weird. Jay Gruden, Jaguars, or Kubiak for the Vikings, who is most likely to have sustained success? I'm not going to say Garrett, because I don't think Garrett's going to be there long. Jason Garrett's going to become an NFL head coach very soon, because I think, number one, he's a good coach. Yep. Not great, but good. And he's got a lot of offensive weapons, a lot of interesting pieces that will, launch him back into the prominent space next year to be a coach.
So you're saying
Garrett.
He rises up
and he's gone.
And someone says, we want him.
Oh, for sure. Yep. Yeah, no doubt. Jay Gruden, he really brought the Bengals offense up statistically big time. Kubiak. I'm going to say Jay Gruden's going to have a nice little renaissance here.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you. The only reason I could go with Kubiak in Minnesota is because of the weapons, man.
Yeah, better personnel for sure.
He just has better personnel, especially in the receiving core. Dalvin Cook is only going to get better. He's now 2 years removed from that ACL injury that derailed his rookie season. So I'm going to say Kubiak, but I could see Jay Gruden. Who's done it in a couple of places with different, really diverse talent, like Bengals and in the Redskins. And I think he could have some success.
D-Cell, before you buzz, quick question for Tiki. Maybe the reason I didn't take Kubiak, and I'm asking more than telling, I don't know if he's fully...
Yeah,
has he evolved to the modern NFL? I'm not saying he hasn't, but is that a legitimate concern?
It is.
Yeah, right?
It definitely is. But I think this level of skill position player kind of forces you to evolve.
Okay, I got you. 11-win Hawks. Boy, it's a layup line when you play the Hawks. It's a race to 130 points when you play the Hawks. But they did beat the Clippers without Kawhi. Now, the Clippers are 5-5 without the Claw. With the West being so packed, should he take more or less games off? Obviously something to navigate.
Because
if he takes games off and you lose, you might lose that top seed or second seed, blah, blah, blah.
I think as we get closer, BT, towards this thing like solidifying, like the top is like it's – other than the Lakers in the West, it's kind of like it's like amorphous, like it moves here and there, right? As soon as it starts to like solidify a little bit, and if they're still waffling in games like this against the Hawks, come on, then he's got to readjust his load management schedule, back to backs, et cetera, because the last thing they can afford to do is fall out at the top four and be a road team. So I'm gonna say, yeah, they do need to adjust this, but only after we get probably 5 or 6 more weeks down the line.
Yeah.
And the top of the West starts to solidify.
You know, we might need to start talking about the Clippers as a team that needs to make a trade rather than as a luxury. Mm. A little bit more of a necessity here. Nobody's really
interesting
said
thought.
That. You know,
yeah.
It's always like, well, Lakers need a shooter and the Sixers need a shooter and the Celtics might go after that guy. You know, I think the Clippers, I know they could use a little front court help for sure. Mm-hmm.
We give them a pass because their bench is so good.
No doubt. I don't worry as much about the top seeding in the West here because I think they have the kind of team when they're healthy, when they're locked in with a defensive game plan. I still think they can win anywhere.
Could you see the Nuggets jumping over them? Yeah. Mavericks can get hot.
No,
the
I'm
Houston's
not
been playing. Houston's been playing like crap.
The Rockets are no good.
I agree.
I don't doubt that they can drop. As a matter of fact, they very well might. But I also think if they were the 7 seed, they can win. Like, I don't think they need to be a top seed.
Yeah, regardless of what happens when they get into the whatever round, first, second, except they're going to be the matchup advantage. They're going to have the matchup advantage.
Remember, it becomes game plan specific.
Yeah.
Specific to a team's strengths. And with Kawhi and Paul George defensively.
And it's a series.
It's pretty damn
it's
good.
Not a, it's not a game. It's
no.
a series.
All right, the Timberwolves president calls Carl Anthony Towns untouchable.
Cat.
Is he good enough to be the centerpiece of a contender, or is he more of a number two guy? What do you think, T?
I think the potential is there for him to be the number one guy, so you don't give that away. I think he's still evolving his game, as crazy as it is. He's 5 seasons in, but he's a young man.
Yeah.
And so he's still evolving his game a little bit, and I think that I'm trying to think of the comparison. There's not really a good one. Because he's so much better than, like, Blake Griffin. Think about Blake Griffin when he first got in. Blake was a little bit soft. At least that was the impression.
Yeah.
And so he had to, like, build his toughness, which I think is the parallel with Carl Anthony Towns. And then he started to build a shot, like, moving farther away from the basket. And he started to get good at it. And he started to, hey, man, this kid could be, I mean, Blake Griffin could be really good. Mm-hmm. And then he got hurt again. Carl Anthony Towns isn't that, but he's close to that. Like, he needs to get tougher and have that mentality that he's a killer. As a player, and no matter what you do, I'm getting my shot. I'm getting to my spot. I'm knocking it down, and there's nothing you can do about it. When he develops that, I mean, forget it. He's going to be great.
I think he's already pretty great. I mean, I really do. I think the onus here is on the Timberwolves to properly insulate him. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, but, they tried, right?
Well, yeah, but they didn't. We could try all you want. Yeah. I mean, I could try
Jimmy Butler.
I'm not going to finish.
Yeah, I bet you could.
I don't know that back would be on that con. I don't know if I could finish. I would walk, so I would find a way across the line, but nobody would be
That's
there.
That's what
be
I mean.
Black.
That's all you
got to
do.
I would finish eventually, maybe the next day. But listen, the guy plays every night. I know he was just recently hurt, but this is the first year that he's been. In the first 3 years, he played 82 games every year, so he's a piece of steel. He's 40% at least 2 years in a row from behind the arc. He's evolving his game. He's a low maintenance guy. He's smart. No trouble off the court. I mean, I think that we're just far too critical as a sporting society.
Maybe.
Well, as society. But as a sporting society, what the hell else do you want? Kid's 80% for the stripe. He's a solid character person. He's a star.
Yeah.
Star. He's an absolute star. All right. How about this? Number 7. Wow, they're up to number. I didn't even realize they're up to number 7. Dayton. Mm-hmm. The Flyers are flying up the charts. I mean, I just could think of something else. Number 7, Dayton moves. Moves up the charts. Yeah.
Jumps.
Leaps. All right, 17-2 after a blowout win over the Bonnies right here on CBS Sports Network. St. Bonaventure. Rich history back in the day for the Bonnies, big time. And Dayton. Can Dayton actually make a title run? Boy, I mean, if I didn't even know that they were up to 7, and I consume the sport pretty regularly, am I going to just go from finding out that they're 7 basically to saying they can win the championship? Here's what I'll say. This is the if there's every year for somebody like Dayton to win a championship, it's this year.
Yeah,
Duke is not Duke. So Carolina's finished. Although Cole Anthony's come back, which is awesome. Kansas has all sorts of issues. Gonzaga's legit, but they got to break it off before we can finally say that they're there. Villanova is always dangerous. Yep. Not what they were, but still really good. I guess it's open.
Yeah. No. So Steve Lapis was on yesterday.
Yeah.
Our great college football, our college basketball insider for CBS Sports Network, he said if it's going to happen, it's all blue blood, by the way. We did this exercise like 3 weeks ago.
A couple times,
You go look back, you got to go back to like way, way back before you find a blue blood winning. And I think this year, and I agree with Lapis and you as well, anything can happen, man. There's no like dominant team in any conference this year. They lost Dayton to Kansas by 6 and Colorado, who's now ranked, by 2. So there are two of these, I guess, power five schools, you could say, that they played, and they lost to. They were close games. Mm-hmm. And so in a different occasion, could they win it? Sure. So I think if any year that's going to happen, it'll be this year, because it feels like all of the teams we expect to be great, they're good.
Some of them aren't even good.
But they're not great. And some of them, like the UNC, like Virginia, mm-hmm. they're not even good.
No, it's a very much a transitional year, which makes it very hard to guess what's going to happen.
All right. Good stuff here. Good stuff.
I have to sit down and I have to carve out 40 minutes of game action, and I have to watch Dayton play within the next week or so.
Yeah.
I owe that to myself.
Well, yeah, once they get into the top 10.
But even, true, for number 7, have they ever been number 7? Ever? I mean, 50s, 60s?
It's certainly not in the last 5 or 6 years they haven't.
No, not number 7. They've always been a quality program. But number 7, I mean, I don't know if they ever hit that in the 50s, 60s, or 70s. Quite possibly they may have, because St. Bonaventure was really good.
Yep, they're higher in the net rating, too, by the way. They're 5 in the net rating.
Give me the top 10 net ratings.
So the top 10 net ratings are Baylor, mm-hmm. San Diego State,
yep.
Kansas, Gonzaga, mm-hmm. Dayton, mm-hmm. Duke, West Virginia,
wow.
Michigan State, Butler, and Louisville.
I don't see Butler as a top 10 team.
And they've fallen. They're the one team in the net rankings.
Seton Hall beat them recently in Hinkle. I know Butler's good. Don't get me wrong Bulldog fans. I have a lot of respect for you. I don't think they're a top 10 team
tomorrow,
personally.
Versus Marquette.
Yeah. Marquette's a big offensive team. Struggles a little bit on defense.
So they lost 3 in a row. That's the thing with Butler.
Okay.
Lost to Seton Hall. Yeah. Lost to DePaul.
DePaul's much more competitive.
Yep. And
than they used to be.
Not ranked, but very competitive, and lost to Villanova. And so their last 3 in a row, they've lost.
Okay. Yeah.
Then after Marquette, they have Georgetown. So,
And Georgetown, Patrick Ewing's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
We've said that before. We've had him on the show. And, they had some defections before the season started for different reasons. And, I'm not saying they're going anywhere this year, but I when they lost those two kids, I was saying, Georgetown might be 2-14 in the conference. Like, they might be bad. They're not. They blew the doors off of St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
They're up by like 25 points in the first half, and they've won a few games I didn't think they were necessarily going to win. Patrick's a good coach. It's a shame he never got that chance in the NBA. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I'll make a prediction right now. Here's what's going to happen. Patrick Ewing is going to save the Knicks as the head coach. I'm telling you, Patrick Ewing's been a coach.
You really believe that?
Yeah, I'm starting to.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing's coached big men, the Wizards, the Rockets, with Van Gundy, obviously doing his thing in college. I think it's, first of all, Mike Miller's the interim, whatever. He won't be the guy long-term for the Knicks.
Samter says not until Dolan's gone. Why do you say that, Samter?
Everyone loved Fizdale as a player's coach. It doesn't matter. Nobody will ever go to the Knicks unless they draft the Zion type. No one's ever going to go to the Knicks as long as Dolan is there, so it doesn't matter.
But he's right about that. The way the Knicks will ever become really relevant is they've got to draft the Ja Morant. They've got to – I think R.J. Barrett, now he's hurt, but I actually think that's a good thing, kind of step back because he was in the rookie wall.
But they drafted Porzingis, and, Dolan forced them out or whatever. Maybe it's probably Phil Jackson, to be honest with you. We forget about that episode.
He was lost.
Yeah.
But not to dilute the prediction here, Ewing will be the guy.
All right, clip this one.
Seriously.
Clip this one.
To come back and coach the Knicks back to relevance.
Samter, clip it anyway.
The man can coach.
Even if you don't believe it, clip it.
The man can say it with conviction. I actually believe that. I really do. Because if they wanted Mark Jackson, they could have had Mark Jackson. They're not going to hire him.
Mm.
Who else are they going to hire? Come on, Pat. Bring him home. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.